My name is Katya. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Marla.
Hi, my name is Marla, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for asking me to speak, Amanda. And, you know, it's an honor to speak at an AA meeting. It's an honor to speak at this meeting. It's my home group. And, you know, if somebody asks me to speak at a meeting, it means I'm sober, which is a big deal. So it's great to be here. As I said, the Atlanta group is my home group. My sponsor is Heidi. My sobriety date is April 29th, 2006, and I'm currently working on step four. April 29th, did I say April 29th? Anyway, that wasn't my first sobriety date. I've celebrated 90 days 5 times in this program. I've celebrated a couple of first anniversaries, a couple of second anniversaries. One time I was sober for a period of 6 years. So, you know, as I stand here today sober, it's a big deal. You know, I will say that, you know, I didn't work the program the way I work it today. You know, today I work the program by calling my sponsor on a daily basis, by working the steps and following the program as it's outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, doing that gives me the hope that there's something different this time than those other times. I drank too much, and it never really resulted in anything good. If I told you about the first time I ever drank alcohol, you would think that that would be enough to stop. I was 14 years old, and my mission was to get drunk. I was curious to know what it was like to be and feel drunk. I bought a bottle of Smirnoff vodka all by myself at age 14, which I was very proud of. And I poured out a third of the bottle and filled it with orange juice and went out with my friends that night. And just to forward to the end of the night, I was screaming, throwing up, unable to walk or stand. And I was thrown into a cab, threw up all over the cab, and then cleaned it up with my jacket. Because the cab driver told me to. And you know, also that night there was a fire on my block, so the entire block was outside and got to see this. And my sister came to my rescue and brought me home. I was hungover the next morning and unhappy, and, you know, my older sister really abused me for that. And that was the first time I ever drank alcohol. And, you know, really, I could tell you lots of stories of things that have happened. But pretty much, if you just key into that first time, that's That's the beginning and the end and the middle and everything like that. You know, drugs are a part of my story, but, you know, alcohol is really my love, and it was also the gateway to the other substances. You know, I first came to AA, I was 16, and I went to a TC, and I stayed there for a year and a half. And I stayed sober after that for a little while. And I never heard any of, I never hear what I hear now. And, you know, maybe it was being said, and I just didn't hear it. Or maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But, you know, I thought because I was so young that, you know, a lot of the things that I heard in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous didn't happen to me, and I was different and I was smarter, and that was then, and things will be different this time. And I have said things will be different this time many times, and the baffling, unbelievable, crazy, insane thing about that is I really, really believed it. I really believed things would be different this time. And that's really scary with all the evidence, you know, if you could see my file. And, you know, that's part of the insanity, that believing the lie. And, you know, somewhere, thinking more about alcoholism, it talks about, you know, the great obsession of every abnormal drinker is that one day we'll be able to control our drinking and drink like other people. And I was really obsessed with that. You know, I'll fast forward to this last time. April 21st of this year, I got fired from my job, which was a huge blow. I didn't see it coming, and you know, but I guess we never do. You know, I knew I needed help before that incident had happened, and you know, it's interesting. The woman who sponsors me today, I knew before I came into this program, and I was trying to reach out to her for help, and. You know, it's funny, I only recently remembered this, just a week or so ago. 2 days before I got fired, I told Heidi, I don't think I can get sober and have this job. And then, sure enough, 2 days later, I didn't have this job anymore. And, you know, and I didn't even remember that until just very recently. And, you know, and then that last week, I got sober on, I got fired April 21st, and my sober date is April 29th. And, you know, that last week, you know, in the big book, it talks about, you know, we drink and then, you know, comes complete oblivion. You know, that last week was the loneliest, darkest time of my life. I really barely ever drew a sober breath in that week. Now that I'd been fired and, you know, I felt like, well, my job was everything, and now I don't have my job, and I had no responsibilities or family or anything to attend to, and I just spent that last week, really, to tell you a little bit about that last week, I was alone most of the time. I'd get these great ideas to go wander the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning, completely out of my mind, and just roam the streets of Manhattan for no reason, looking, maybe I'll see someone I know. I mean, really crazy, you know? And I was pathetic, and I was broken, and I had no hope that I could ever do this again, that I'd tried many times, and, you know, it's just never, I'm never going to get it. And, you know, thank God for AA and all of you. I called some people that I knew in AA, and, you know, sure enough, they were there to help me, and, you know, more so than my family ever was or could be there to help me, or... and I came to the Atlantic Group, and I felt something different here. And, you know, thank God I did, because that gave me some hope that, wow, maybe. You know, I started going to meetings, and I was really uncomfortable. So, you know, if you're new and you're uncomfortable, I know what that feels like. I'm pretty uncomfortable right now, actually, but I'm really happy, you know, I'm really happy. You know, I would wake up every morning when I was drinking, and I would sit on the edge of my bed, and I would hold my head, and I would say, I am in so much trouble. And I really felt like I was in so much trouble. And, you know, it wasn't like I was late to work or, you know, I did something. I just felt this constant feeling that I am in so much trouble, and I don't know how I'm going to get out from under. And, you know, I came here, and I got a sponsor, and we began reading this book here. reading it together page by page, and you know, that was different. That was not something I did the first time or the any time around. And I tried to, you know, allow people in, and you know, the great thing is anybody here who reached out to me, if I wasn't able to reach back, you know, everybody still reached out again. And I started going to meetings, and you know, I had the willingness that you can only get when you're completely broken and full of despair. And, you know, it was really difficult, you know, and I would sit in these rooms and I would think you all knew how uncomfortable I felt and how unhappy I was, and I felt like I had a sign over my head that said, I'm sober 3 days and I hate myself. And you know, it was very difficult, but you know, somehow, and you know, that somehow is the power that's in these rooms, you know, the outline that's in this book, and you know, through believing in a higher power. And I didn't always believe, you know, I thought, all right, fine, whatever, you know, but I would do it because I just wanted to stop feeling the way I felt. And you know, very slowly it happened, and it's still happening. You know, I'm sober 7 months, and you know, I still don't always feel great, and I don't always feel like, you know, that I can just rah-rah, cheer this. But you know, the difference today is I have a little bit of hope, and you know, that's something that I get from listening to people at meetings. It's something that I get from watching you grow or go through something difficult, and something that I get from how the people in these rooms help me. And you know, sometimes when I don't believe, but I just get on my knees and put it out there, you know, there's just a little glimmer pinhole of a change. And you know, I don't want a glimmer pinhole. You know, I want bright light shining through, lifting me up and bringing me to exactly the place that I think I should be. And you know, but the difference is I have the willingness and the hope to just hold on to that, you know, that small glimmer of light that comes through the pinhole, and believing that it'll get bigger and bigger. I'm really grateful to be sober today. You know, I'm grateful how everyone in this room at some point has probably helped me. You know, somebody told me recently, I was going through a hard time, and they told me that my sobriety meant a lot to them. You know, and that was a huge deal, you know, that me and living healthy meant something to someone else. So thank you for my life. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Luke.
Hey, everyone. My name's Luke Higgins. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for inviting me here, and I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to do any service for AA, and it's a pleasure to come here. I've only come here a few times, and I've loved it every time I did. I live in New Jersey, and I work at nights, so that doesn't get me here very often, but anytime I have the warmth and the friendliness, I just really love this group, the half dozen times I've come, so to be here is really cool. Thank you. And my sobriety date is February 11th of the year 2000. You can hear I can be dramatic, the year 2000, you know, but the bondage itself. At any rate, my sobriety date is February 11th, 2000, and I wouldn't have that if I didn't get to enter into a great loving relationship with a higher power that is that I found to be loving and caring and that I never had before. And I wouldn't have that relationship if I never had a spiritual awakening as a result of taking the 12 steps as they're outlined in our big book. And I never would have taken those 12 steps if I didn't have a sponsor who showed me, guided me, and took me through and took the time and the care. And for that, and I wouldn't have had that without a home group. And for all those things, I'm just so grateful and privileged to be here. And my home group is Hohokus, New Jersey. And we call it Hohokus all year long, not just in this Christmas season. And I should just start forging forward because I waste too much time getting into the nitty-gritty stuff. And I never thought I'd be here. I was a really quiet, shy person who never fit in. My parents were alcoholics, and I swore I would never be like them. And when I moved from the Bronx to New Jersey, this teenage, bad-skinned, socially awkward guy who never felt like he fit in anywhere, and in fact didn't, until he had his first drink at almost 17. And boy, oh boy, was I instantly changed. I didn't know it then, but I can see it now. I drank for the effect. And what alcohol did to me, gave me that courage, that strength, and I loved it. Right from the get-go, alcohol was fun, alcohol was my answer, and alcohol, we got along fine for quite a while. And because I liked it so much, I used it so much. And having done that, I didn't have consequences at first, but you start to hear the warning signs. Why don't you slow down? Did you ever consider not drinking tonight? I'll drive, and all those types of things. You know, never saw that coming. And I did what I always do. When people told me to slow down, I would say right to your face with all sincerity, okay, you're right, yeah. And I'd do what I wanted anyway. And so that started with the lying, the hiding, the cheating, the stealing, the rationalizing, minimizing, compromising, whatever you want to put in there. I started to do that. As my drinking is progressing, my character defects are progressing. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but they're both intertwined like vines through a fence. My defects and my drinking are hand in hand. And I also noticed that, I always lied after I drank. I just think that goes with the territory, but I started to lie before I drank. At 8 in the morning, when I'm telling wife that I'm not coming home till 8 at night, but I'm getting out at 5, I carved out 3 hours, that's not too cool. You know, that's showing me that I'm not drunk at that point, but I'm setting it up. So I'm leading this life. And as I start to open the door for cheating and stealing and doing all that stuff, only for alcohol, I was a pretty good guy in all other areas, so I thought. But once I open up the door, I open it up wide. And I start lying, cheating, stealing in all other areas of my life. And in short term, I walked right out of my marriage. And the most stunned person in the room was my wife and my 4-year-old daughter. They didn't even see it coming. They didn't think there was a problem. But selfish Luke had gotten himself someone else already. And I was already becoming this life of secrecy. I stole money from my job that I had for 18 years to get beer money. And I got caught. And this six-figure job I had for 18 years, I lost. And I never told anybody the truth. I never told wife one, child support, my family, my mother, anyone. I never told them the truth until this time in AA when I came back that I finally say what that was. I could take a half a truth and make a full lie. And I was very good at it at the end. And wife two came and nothing else changed, just the person. I had the cooler in the car. I drank all the time. Everything and anything was a reason to drink. I never drank at work, but I never left the parking lot without one. You know, and every social event involved drinking. I had, like I said, that cooler never left the trunk. And it used to be fun, it started to get sad. But I was still drinking for sadness then, and I was still drinking no matter what. And then it stopped working totally. And I can never put this with rhyme or reason, but I had a thought one night that, holy crow, you got a problem, Luke. And I went to AA. And that was 11 years ago. And 11 years ago wasn't the year 2000. So I'll tell you what happened. I came to AA, and here's what I did not do. I went to 5 or 6 meetings a week. I am one of those people that we hear meeting makers make it wrong for Luke. I went 5 or 6 meetings a week, but that's all I did. I didn't get involved. I didn't get a sponsor. I did the most minimal amount of unity, no recovery, no service. And that's not going to go too far. If half measures avail us nothing, a third is going to get me even less. And those 4 years were hell. I already came in lonely and depressed. And those 4 years were so much worse. I ended up stealing. I used to be a vice president of a department store, and I ended up stealing clothes to return them for $25 bank checks. I did white-collar crime. I stole someone's unemployment for 6 months while they were in jail. I ended up being homeless. The things that happened to me, I never would have imagined. Finally, that got me back to here, though, and let me just start there. Thank God it did. And when I came back this time, I was out of ideas. I was shot. I was spent. I didn't have a clue. And thank goodness I didn't have a clue because I finally asked, what do you have to do? Please show me. I always ask why. This time I switched it. I said, how? How? I just switched the words. I still asked the question, but this time it worked. And I got a sponsor, and he took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous at his kitchen table, week by week, and step one, and we built on it, and every chapter, and we stopped. He showed me where he was in the book. More importantly, I saw where I was in the book, and we moved forward, and we took all the steps. And along the way, what beautiful things happened. A life came about that I never... That I wished I had, I lost, and finally got back. And you know what? I've taken all the steps. I try to live today in 10, 11, and 12 as best I can, being a human being. But that's where my attempt is on a daily basis. I'm lucky to have a bunch of guys that I'm able to have the time to sponsor. And you know what? I have a life I never thought of. I'm a worker among workers. I don't have to be the high, and I'm not the low anymore. I pay my bills on time. That doesn't make me a hero, but I'm no longer a zero. I need to find that balance. I never did it, so I'll take the credit, and yet that just puts me back in the rest of the world. You know, and I found I can be a father to a daughter as best I can be. And I wasn't in her life for quite a long time. I bought a Christmas present one year since it's coming up at a gas station, a little $2.95 travel Scrabble for a nine-year-old girl. That's a great Christmas present. I love you. You know, and that's what I was capable of at the time, and life has changed, and it's a lot different now. And it's certainly, for me, not about the monetary. It's about who I am now, and just a regular guy, and what a great gift that was. All along, I tried to fill this hole inside from outside in, and I found that it only can be filled from inside out. I have this cartoon image in my head that God, it tells me, deep down inside of every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God, and the final reality deep down within us. God is right there within me, and I need to take that God that's in there and expand it out. And that's how the hole gets filled. It doesn't get filled from outside in. It gets filled from inside out. And luckily, you folks have shown me that. And therefore, last thing I'd just like to say is that I love A Vision for You. I even love the title of it. A Vision for You. What vision for who? The people who have gone through recovery. The people who haven't yet. And you know what? Every newcomer, you know, we trudge the road. And there we are. We're walking shoulder to shoulder, trudging a road on a daily basis, moving forward towards God. And you know what? On that road, there are a lot of entrance ramps, and new people come in, and God bless you, and come on in. You know what? There are exit ramps, too. And there are a few empty chairs, not in this place, but there are a lot of people who could be here and aren't. You know, and we need each other because, you know, it's that seasoned veteran who's been on the road for quite a while. He gets a little tired on the way, and that newcomer can spark him and energize him and rejuvenate him. And it's beautiful that we have here. And I always say, I cannot pay my sponsor back for what he has given me. And I've come to change that. I can't pay him back directly for what he's done for me, but I've realized now what I can because I have sponsees. And I can pay him back by paying it forward. Pay it forward. And when I see that my sponsees call me up and say, guess what? I'm taking someone through the doctor's opinion tonight. The joy that I get to hear that this is going forward is incredible. I'd like to thank you for having me here. It's a beautiful group, and I look forward to coming back. Thank you.